Bonjour et bienvenue dans cette nouvelle vidéo. Je suis actuellement avec Stig. Hey Stig.
Hey.
How are you? Donc Stig est quelqu'un de très intéressant parce qu'il a un triple, c'est un quadruple champion du monde d'apnée. Il va nous en parler tout à l'heure. Et c'est aussi la personne qui détient le record du monde actuel d'apnée sous l'eau puisqu'il a passé 22 minutes sous l'eau sans respirer. Donc, je vais l'interviewer aujourd'hui sur des sujets passionnants qui vont vous intéresser, notamment comment avoir de la discipline, comment avoir plus de volonté, comment s'organiser, comment bien respirer. Mais bien sûr, Stig, il est danois, il ne parle pas français, on va parler anglais tous les deux. Donc, soyez sûr d'activer les sous-titres dans YouTube en cliquant sur le petit bouton qui va bien.
Stig, first, I said you are a worldwide champion of freediving. Can you explain what it is briefly?
Yes, it's freediving is holding your breath underwater and doing something.
All right.
So you can dive deep. I had the world record in that. I was the first to break 200 feet limits. You can swim a long distance, which I really like because I come from a swimming background. So you swim. I have some Guinness World Records in this and some other world records. So the specialty I really like is diving under ice. Plancher about le glace or whatever you say in French, something like this.
Yeah.
But really exploring the body in the most natural way. So we were in East Greenland doing some records, and it was fabulous because when you really meet this vastness of nature, this, you know, you become so small and you understand you're just a little nothing in the universe. So it's a great way to challenge yourself. And this is just what I do. I don't recommend anyone to go out and dive under ice, but it's just a demonstration for me that in life, we all face challenges, and so it's my way of like an artistic expression of a metaphor for a difficult challenge, a task, you know, the hero's journey, like, okay, you come to slay the dragon, you plan, you travel for days and years, and then finally you're here, so it's, you know, you have to see if you're a man or a mouse, right? So for me, it's a very interesting thing, because then with the breathing and with the right mindset, you can overcome the cold water and maybe make a world record. Yeah. And this is my point. I want to show that there's an incredible power in breathing and conscious breathing because it controls our life energy. And the life energy controls our focus. And the focus controls or dictates our success. And the success hopefully dictates our happiness.
Yeah, I mean, how long have you been under ice?
It's not so much about, it's more the distance. So 500 feet is one Guinness World Record I have. 250 feet is another one. Maybe people have seen it on YouTube went like viral because there was last year this ice bucket challenge. Mm-hmm. And you know, for a good cause to raise money. But so some people put my videos and say, oh, here's a real challenge, not just pouring some water on the head. But let's not talk so much about the records. The people can Google or YouTube or something.
You can check the videos on YouTube. Yeah, we put some link under the video.
So it's just numbers. It's this and that. But yeah, you're right. 22 minutes. I was the first to break 20 minutes on breath hold in the world. And that was a great honor. Also to break like a human barrier. It's all about mental barriers, right? We put these limiting beliefs on ourselves from the medical world, from the entrepreneurial world, from a socio-economical world. We put these limiting beliefs so we live in, you know, scarcity and we're not really sharing our full, you know, potential. So when I do this diving, it's not because I'm crazy. If you think I'm crazy, it's fine. A little bit crazy is good. But it's actually, you know, very controlled. I'm very perfectionistic. I'm very passionate. But it's not just the world records. I'm a 4-time world champion, as you explained. It's, you know, I could be 6, 8, 10 times. It doesn't matter. I don't change the world. So now when I do these dives under ice, in shark tanks, like I said, I was the first to break 20 minutes. In 2010, I did 20 minutes 10. So I demonstrate that I can focus so much on a task that I end up at 20 minutes, 10 seconds, like the year 2010.
So you obviously have an amazing discipline on willpower. Can you share some tools you use or are using right now to increase this discipline on willpower, make things easier, you know?
Well, there are different things. Everything I do in life, I do from breathing. We all do this because we breathe every day. We breathe about 30,000 times a day, actually. But many people don't think about it. So one good thing for everyone is to just elevate the consciousness. Mm-hmm. So to start to think more about how do you use your energy and also how do you generate more energy if you need it. So we generate energy from people around us, from good food, from making exercise, but the core energy we create from breathing, and we translate oxygen into energy. So I work a lot on breathing exercises and stretching and keeping the body subtle. And what happens is also that your brain becomes smarter or more creative. Because when you start to connect the breathing and the way you think in a more subtle way, you can start to connect the dots, so to speak. You start to be able to open different areas of your brain. And then also we can talk about moving into a different mind state. So you can move into a process that I'm sure every entrepreneur and every person in the world has experienced. It's called flow. And flow is a term from sports psychology, coined by the very famous sports psychologist Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, that I'm honored to call my friend as well, but a very, very intelligent, wonderful man who did interviews with thousands of top athletes and artists. And he asked them, so can you point out some of the key elements when you're totally in your passion, when you love what you do, when you have almost like a creator in your arm, you don't know what you're doing, things are just happening automatically. And your brain is fired up, it's like a firework, and you don't actually demand any direction, you just stay open. So there are many mindsets you can enter, and flow is one of them. So flow is when you become what you do. One very interesting key factor is that time disappears. So if you need to plan something or evaluate something or create something, it's an incredible ability if you can find what you would call workflow. So find the flow between your skill and the challenge. If the challenge is too easy, we all know what happens. It's boring. You don't get the job done. If it's too difficult, what happens?
You give up.
You give up, or even worse, you get stressed. Many, many people get stressed because the task doesn't fit their level of expertise, or they maybe believe they don't have the skill, even though they have it. So it's a limiting belief, and that will stop them from moving, advancing forward. So I think a lot about how breathing in different situations affect me, and the incredible thing about breathing is that it is the communication between us. It's a silent communication. So when I breathe, the breathing is in you. The breathing is in people around us, in the plants, in the animals. It comes back. We exhale the CO2, the carbon dioxide. The plants make the photosynthesis and we get the oxygen. So we help each other. In biology, because I'm a biologist, it's called a symbiotic mutual relationship.
You're a biologist and you have a PhD in medicine.
A PhD in medicine. So I come from a world of research and science, but I am a biologist by heart.
Okay.
It's my passion. Animals, ocean, nature, all colors. It's just, you know, biology means the science of life. Bios is a Greek word for life, and logos is learning or knowledge. So biology is the science of life. What is more interesting? Mm-hmm. Maybe entrepreneurship, the science of real life.
Yeah.
But no, so in general, the breathing is so fascinating because it's, you know, it's secret and it's subtle communication. We all know when we feel sad or we give up, you know, the body language, but it's also the breathing. We hardly can breathe. It comes up here in the top, especially if you're stressed also. It's long breathing, you know, it's top lung breathing. So it's chest. You're not in the diaphragm. You know, in the creative space, you're, you know, tensing up and your brain does not have room to move. You know, you're tense, the signals are not coming back and forth, and then you lose your creative energy and your imagination, so to speak, if you have a job or a project where you need to be very creative and find new solutions. So I use the breathing a lot for that. And the breathing, I think, the most important thing maybe that people should understand is that breathing is the master of your life and is the best teacher. So I used to say breathing is like the most certain lie detector, right? If you want to lie to yourself, well, it's the truth, you know, machine. So you cannot lie to yourself. You can try to put nice clothes. You can, you know, if, you know, you had more hair than me.
Maybe. If you breathe badly, it means you're stressed and not as happy as you should, right?
Exactly, but I'm just saying outer appearance, you can, you know, look good in clothing, you can do many things, you can even go to the gym and look great, but you are not happy inside, you don't feel great. So we can keep up appearances, you know, we can put a mask. We do that in many situations in life, but breathing you cannot trick. Mm-hmm. You cannot trick your breathing, you cannot just, you know, when you sit down for 1 minute in your life, whether it's to check for happiness or for fear or for excitement, when you check in with your breathing, it will tell you exactly how you're doing. If you have lost control of the breathing and you're jumping up and down, you're sad, you have fear, you're maybe going into panic. If you're talking slowly and with a soft voice and your breathing is very slow and long on the exhale, and there's a pause before you start again, then it's because you're looking at a baby or a rabbit, you know, bunny rabbit, like something nice, right? Or something that you like, you know, artist's painting or something. That's incredible. Ah, that's amazing. But when you're stressed, you have no break. There is no pause in your breathing and you're talking. That's not my fault. If you do that again, I'm going to fire you because I am telling you the last time. So this creates a lot of negative tension around you. So the breathing mandates the energy around you. It's not spiritual talking. It is spiritual, of course, at many levels, but I'm not talking at the spiritual level. I'm talking on the physical, physiological, psychological level. So if your breathing is not controlled and relaxed, it creates tension around you, this energy. We all know it. You can be behind a guy and you know he's not feeling well or you don't want to be near him. We all know this situation in life. You don't have to look into the eyes to understand if a person, you know, has this negative energy. And the positive energy is the same. It attracts you.
Yeah.
Oh, this it's flowing, it's glowing, you know, there's this energy. And that comes from the breathing when it's balanced.
So how do you have tools or method to improve your breathing?
Of course, the wonderful news is that we all breathe, right? We're all
great
here.
Great news.
But we all don't breathe equally well. And that's one of my points. You know, people spend hundreds, if not thousands of euros, dollars a month for good food, healthy food, organic food. You know, we're aware of the environment, which is very good. We also, many people are very conscious of the clothing, going to a fitness gym, you know, look good, be strong, take care of themselves. It's all good. But nobody pays attention to the breathing. That's why I started many years ago researching into all the incredible benefits of just breathing better, optimizing your energy control, connecting that with your mind. Of course, that's the key. And the thing with breathing is we breathe 30,000 times each day. Mm-hmm. And imagine if you had a company, 30,000 times each day we all breathe. So imagine if you had like a bank account and every time you put a dollar in, oh, you took 25 cents or 30 cents and threw in the garbage bin. That's not a very good business. It's not a very good business model either. But the thing is, we don't think about it. You know, it's like we think about the good food because we see it and it's there. But breathing is more... It's volatile. It's not so easy. We can't see it. You know, we can feel it if we listen to our body, but in general, we don't walk around listening. That's why I said, if you sit down and listen to your breathing and watch the frequency and how it feels, where you're tense, where you're open, then it will tell you the truth about how you are feeling.
Okay.
So how you're doing.
Can you just share like a few practical tips?
Well, one thing is if you're upset or stressed or coming close to a panic attack, you know, you're really freaking out, maybe afraid, then of course again you go to your breathing. So you start from the basic physiological aspect and then you move into the neural parts, you know, to your brain. So you just control your breathing. So you're crying.
So, okay. Yeah.
And then you go, oh, it doesn't help me. You know, I'm here. Okay, that's enough. And then you shift to nose breathing. You don't hyperventilate and get a dry throat. And you know, get a bad pH balance in your blood because you have too much CO2 blown out, so you don't have the balance between oxygen and carbon dioxide, right? So you say, okay, there's a simple technique. I saw this on this great video, on this blog. Okay, what was it? Nose breathing. So you start to breathe with your nose, and you should do that always. Because the nose is not only a filter for particles and mosquitoes and pollen in the air, it's also viruses, bacteria that will get stuck in the mucous membrane. Mm-hmm. So whether you're an entrepreneur or, you know, nurse or an artist, it doesn't matter. If you want to be more healthy and not fall ill, you know, it's not natural to be ill. In this day and age, it's like everyone is sick. That's not natural. It's natural to be healthy. You know, that's natural. Look at your animals. They're never sick. A dog is never sick. You know, it lives for 12 years. Never had a day of sickness. It never had a day of, oh, I've got to stay home from work. Really, right? Look at the animals. Look at natural things. That's why I'm so fascinated by nature. So you use your nose for breathing and your mouth for eating. That's the first tip. Mm-hmm. Always nose for breathing, mouth for eating. Also because with the mouth, you see what happens? Not only do I get a dry throat and the air, you know, hits this part of the throat, but you go into the chest immediately. And it's a very typical thing for men, because we're quite masculine and we want to go through things and we want to get work done. You know, when we talk about feminine, it's more soft and it's more elegant, like a ballet often, right? It's more soft and feminine. So for men, it's often very hard. So you're like, I want to breathe. So often I ask people, try to take a big breath. And the guys will often go, because it's like they feel, oh, I do a lot of work. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really hard. I must get a lot of air. But the truth is, if you compare this, which is just a little bit of air up here, right? You can hear it. It's nothing compared to. Here. It's a bit more.
That's a very, very interesting demonstration. I hope you saw it on the camera, or it all went from the belly.
It's a full yogic breathing.
And
then, yes.
And so you really
the diaphragm.
Yeah,
the breathing muscle.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's very important to understand, that when you do the masculine heart breathing, many bad things happen. Many, many bad things happen. Physiologically, neurologically, anatomically, what happens? First of all, you create a lot of tension in your body. That's obvious. That's the man, you know, Superman. So that's already bad. So what happens if we look at it? First of all, you push your chest. You know, you increase the pressure in your chest. This means the heart becomes compressed. It means it does not have so much room to work. So the cardiac output cannot be as large. They cannot pump as much blood. So what can it do? It can increase the frequency. Heart rate goes up. Mm-hmm. Instead of boom, boom, it goes boop, boop. It cannot work. So it goes boop, 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 because it needs to put out the same amount of oxygen. You know, you have 30 trillion cells in your body. They need oxygen, every single one of them. The cells don't wait. We have aerobic cells, you know, they need air. So the heart rate goes up. What happens when the heart rate goes up? There's a biofeedback to the brain. What does it say?
Stress.
Stress, adrenaline, cortisol, fight or flight. This is the system of our nervous system that the brands that we call the sympathetic. It's actually a quite bad name. I always, if people don't remember these medical terms, it's a quite good way to remember it, because the sympathetic is actually not very sympathetic. It's quite bad, right? It's a stress system. Mm-hmm. But of course, the fight and flight, the stress system, is good sometimes. It's sometimes, I almost go into the French dialect. You hear, I'm a little chameleon. Sometimes. The mirroring, it's interesting. No, but sometimes. Yeah, you want to be able to be in a stressed situation, in the sense that you want to be able to be strong and run. Mm-hmm. That's why it's called fight and flight. You know, the old days, there was a bear, a tiger. Oh, you fight or you flight, you run.
Yeah.
So it's for short-term survival. But the thing we all know is, in this society, we live in a long-term stress, you know, balance. So we're totally shifted, you know, out of balance to this stress system. So what breathing does, and especially nose breathing, is that it brings you to the other system. So you can visit that system anytime you want. It's called the parasympathetic, but it doesn't matter with the terms. It's called rest and digest. Mm. So it is, as the term, you know, so describes, You rest, meaning that your body rebuilds the immune system, rebuilds the proteins and the amino acids, get time to rebuild your muscles and tissue that was broken down mm-hmm. from training or from stress. It heals your skin. If you had a scratch, you know, you heal again faster. It replaces everything in your brain and all the cells that needs to have a exchange, you know, every now and then. It needs a renewal. So, especially also your brain. So all these things start to happen, you know, also digestion. Many, many people have problems. I'm sure also entrepreneurs, especially in the most stressful times, will know that they have issues with digestion, with going to the bathroom, falling asleep. It has so many implications because when you breathe from your chest and you don't move the diaphragm, you don't get a massage of the organs. So you don't massage. You don't massage the intestines. You don't get the food pressed down, you know, in your system. You don't absorb the nutrients, the energy, the vitamins, the minerals, as well as when you have it more soft and relaxed. And all your cleansing organs, kidney, spleen, liver, are sitting right under the diaphragm, this breathing muscle. So if you don't move this, I can make a little quick demonstration, sorry, rated PG 14,
exactly.
We in America. So the diaphragm is this, it sits like an umbrella, and this is the most important muscle in the body. You know, maybe you never talked with your muscle, but you know, we know this muscle from the gym, especially yeah. the boys, weightlifting. But this is much more important because this is what creates the energy. So if you're stiff here and you're breathing up here, the heart rate goes up, hypertension is the next step, so you get high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. Then your brain has too much blood and you cannot think, and then you have this negative biofeedback loop for the adrenaline. And what happens with the heart when you have adrenaline? It beats more fast.
And so it's like
negative spiral.
So it's very interesting because we can see that from just bad breathing, everything is going wrong, and we are more less focused, less protein.
Think about you're more prone to become ill mm-hmm. because your immune system is shut down. Let me give an example people understand, because it can maybe become too technical. Okay, you're really stressed. You're running around. You have all these meetings. You have plans. You have to do this. You have to sell. You have to all these things that we all know from entrepreneurs, right? I'm also a sportsman, but I also have a business, and I think I'm an entrepreneur. I think I qualify, maybe. No, the thing is that when you're in this stress system, you know, you're in fight and flight. You know, it's a good description. You either have to fight the problem, the challenge, mm-hmm. or you die, more or less, right? That's what the body thinks. And if there's a bus coming towards you, you will die if you get hit by a bus, right? So you have to jump to the side. Or you have to run, so that's jumping. You don't fight the bus, no, it's too big, okay, you're smart, you jump. But when you're in the fight and flight, it's like the red phone, you know? It's like
the blue, yeah.
Well, like the like for the war phone, you know? They take the red phone and it's like, doot, 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 the blue lights, you know, the alarm. So when that happens, you create adrenaline, your pupils dilate, everything starts to rust. That's why you feel this shaking.
And the brain is bad.
And the brain, the creative mind, shuts down because there's no time to be philosophical, maybe think about something, because you're going to be dead in 1 minute. No, 1 second. Like now, when the bus hits you. So when you're in this situation, the body goes, all right, shut down, all systems. Immune system, not very important right now. We can wait tomorrow with this immune system, white blood cells, you know, all this that keeps us healthy. Healing the body, inside little tissues, scars, muscles that were torn from training, not important right now. We don't have the time. Forget about those amino acids. Forget about the nutrient uptake. Not important right now. Hormone balance, we don't have time to check that right now. And since we're in stress, we cannot produce the happy hormones, as I call them, mm-hmm. serotonin, dopamine, the ones we get when we make love, when we eat chocolate, when we create and feel fulfilled inside, and we stay with people that we care about. Then we have time to create all this oxytocin, all these things when we cuddle and we touch each other and have contact and feel great, right? We are vibrant. All that is shut down. Sorry, no time for that, because we are dying. In 1 second, we're going to die. So it's maybe just to, it's not an exaggeration, but it's just to show that you really have to be careful with your life and not kill yourself slowly. You know, you as an entrepreneur, we get so caught up in we have deadlines, we have this, we have these big visions because it's our, you know, it's our own baby. We have this dream of making a company or a product or a, you know, save the world, hopefully something very interesting. And we all know that's the stress factor. We know we are here for a limited time. And maybe also to payment, you know, payments for the house, for the car, for the new software. We have different timelines.
So how can an entrepreneur, a busy entrepreneur watching this video can like learn to have more deeper breathing?
Yeah, so we can go back to this PG rated material. So they can start to breathe with the nose. Mm-hmm. Because when we breathe with the nose.
Okay. And they have to.
It facilitates diaphragmatic breathing. No, it facilitates, it creates the deeper breathing because you start to have control as anything in life. Anything needs control.
Okay.
Regulation. So you regulate the air stream, the air flow. Not only do you clean the air, we talked about it briefly, but you know, you get the particles out, the viruses, so you don't get them into your lung and you don't get a lung infection. But also you, since it's very, very delicate, the breathing system. So you get the air in and then it creates a special turbulence and laminar flow in the inner nose. The inner nose is very big and it's a very complex organ. It's as big as the mouth. So we look at the nose like this. Some people have a small nose, someone have a bigger nose. But this is the small outer nose. Inside, we have a huge inner nose and that nose will warm up the air if it's too dry. It's like climate, you know, regulation. It will moist the air because your lungs, if you get too dry air in your lungs or if you run outside when it's cold, it's like an asthmatic attack. Mm. So when you breathe with the nose, you get all the benefits because you get the right temperature, the right moisture. So it's soothing for the lungs to breathe, and then the optimal amount of oxygen can be taken into your bloodstream and send with your heart out to all your organs and all your tissue. So when you do nose breathing, you facilitate this deeper breathing. Some people call it belly breathing, but of course you don't breathe into your belly, but since the diaphragm moves down, it pushes out all the organs.
Okay.
The stomach, the...
So how do you do that?
A little bit fat.
How do you do that to make sure you begin with...
You put one hand on your belly.
Yeah.
And you would... It's the most simple exercise in the world, but maybe you cannot do it the first time. But you practice again and again and suddenly it's easy. And maybe even some people looking here, I'm sure, will realize, wow, I've been a mouth breather all my life. Or, wow, I breathe too high in my chest. That's why I feel stressed here, and maybe some people have a hard time speaking their voice out. Not like, but getting a message out, because maybe they have tension here subconsciously. They have tension here, so it's hard for them to get this inner voice out, their message, because they're tense. So when you start to open and understand this difference, a whole new world can open. Like in an instant, life-changing, just from that change of breathing. So you put a hand on your belly, one on your chest, and then you go, only belly breathing is the first step. And you're doing a good job. So your chest is not moving, but...
Just your hand.
Just the belly.
Your left hand, you should move.
And you know, you take all vanity away. You don't care about if you look fat, whatever. You just relax and... Breathe. Then we move up into the chest. And we keep this one still. So this is the more masculine, the more, but we still control it a bit more with the nose, right?
It's less fulfilling. You feel it's less.
It's not nice, and it's tension.
It's less relaxing, yes.
It's not nice. And then we combine them, and we see that it should be starting here as a wave, and then you stop when you're about here in the upper part of your lung. You don't want to go here and into your clavicular bones. Some yoga teachers will show you this, but it creates too much tension here, and you only gain 2%, 5% more oxygen or air, but the tension will be 50% higher, so you lose that game, all right? So you try to combine it now. So you take first the stomach, then you roll slowly over the diaphragm, like where the connection is to your rib cage, and then you just let go. Don't care about it, where it comes out, here, just...
But, so with the mouth?
With the mouth. You can also use your nose, but now we use the mouth because it's easier to hear for the people, but it's also easier to control because you have incredible things like the tongue. It's a very, very, very strong muscle, very incredible instrument, so we can direct the air so precisely. We can even say we don't want to push it out. Nothing comes out, like you just stop. Also, you can use your throat. That's when you get a bit more advanced in the yoga breathing. You use your throat and you use your epiglottis, the soft thing in here. So, and then of course you try to find that wave, and then you make a slight pause between the inhale and exhale. And this is very important because you're starting to yawn.
Yeah.
And maybe your editor is going to cut this away. Maybe he's going to say, no, he yawned. And you know why?
Because I did this deep breathing?
Yes, because you do deep breathing. So it's a wonderful proof. That's why I took this example. You try to hide it. And now I start to yawn because it's, you know, it's contagious. So this is a beautiful example of why it de-stresses you. You know, it takes you from that, you know, crazy system to the rest and digest. And you cannot be in both systems at once. They're, of course, balanced in your life, but they're usually, in every modern human civilization world, too much in the stress system. We all know this. We know it. We have bad habits, but we don't do enough. We're not conscious enough about moving into this world and taking care of ourselves, letting the body heal, whatever you want to put in the term heal, but heal, grow, regrow, take care of the immune system, create white blood cells that is the part of the blood that kills all the bad things that come into our system. So yawning is a reflex that you're relaxing, that you're taking more air. We all know what a yawn looks like. It doesn't look like this. No, it looks like... It's a full breath of... It's like a timeout, a reset. And what we do now when we start this process that looks so simple and you go, oh my God, it's the most simple in the world. Yes, that's the wonderful news. Everyone can do it. Then you have a million exercises and you can become better and you can start.
Wow.
To move and you can use different muscles in different areas. It's very important to understand we can breathe in many different ways. And this is my message to people. We have an incredible body, fantastic organ, you know. So... when you start to control the diaphragm.
My God, it's very impressive. Wow. I don't know if you see that on camera, but it's like a big hole now.
Well, it doesn't matter. The point is you can breathe here. Like a quick demonstration. You can breathe here. You can breathe in both. You can breathe here. There's so many things we can do. Once we start to learn this process, but we don't learn this in one day like everything in life. But my point is we have this wonderful instrument. And it's such a shame if we don't use it. So now we looked at some of the negative things. Mm-hmm. Heart rate goes up, hypertension. What does that create? Stress in your brain, adrenaline, sleep pattern get disrupted. You don't get a good night's sleep. Hard to fall asleep. Many, many people have this. Very difficult to fall asleep. This exercise we're doing now, belly breathing and moving into the chest, so good. And I'll show an even better one now. But I just wanted to point out with this yawning you were having that in just a few minutes, even less, when you start to make this a conditioned response, when you start to make the breathing connecting with your mind in the sense that it sends a signal, oh, now my body is breathing in the nice way. Now I'm relaxed. Now I feel good. Then the brain goes into a different mode and it starts to be more creative and open for those spaces that need to connect. Because you're not in the fight and flight, like, I got to get out of here or kill the tiger. There's no room for creative thoughts or for thinking into the future or reflection of life. So, all the negative things, there are many, many more, of course, with unbalanced hormone system, different illnesses, whole list that we don't even have to go into, but people kind of get the picture. So many... you know, negative side effects for not breathing. But of course, it's the source of life. If you don't take care of the source and you don't take care of the energy levels, of course you're going to be sick. I'm never sick. Well, why should I be sick? I breathe well, I eat normal food, I travel, I move. I'm not an angel or Superman. I'm a totally normal guy, but I'm very rarely sick because I just take care of myself. I also stress.
And you have a strong immune system. That is not.
I probably have a strong immune system because I have because we've done a million studies on me on all these Discovery Channel, National Geographic, all these programs I do because science loves to study a guy that can control some of these things and especially the breath holding because there's so many benefits. But let's not talk about those now. But then again, when you move into that system and the yawn comes, it's because you're talking with a nerve called the vagus nerve. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have these hundreds of thousands probably, smart entrepreneurs and business people watching your videos, but maybe a fraction of them have heard of the vagus nerve, you know?
I never heard of it.
No, it's the most important nerve in your system because it is the nerve that runs from your breathing and respiratory center and the place where you also control your heart rate. Mm-hmm. So there's a little control center right up here where the brain meets the neck. Mm-hmm. So right in this area where the brain stem starts. And that sends nerves. Now we have 12 cranial nerves. So two more, 12. Reptiles and birds have 10, but when you go to the fish and to the frogs, they have 10, we have 12, but that's just a little thing if people think that's interesting. But we have 12, but the 10th cranial nerve is the vagus nerve. It means wandering, vagabond, vagus. It wanders. It's the biggest nerve we have. It's 3 feet long, 1 meter. Mm-hmm. And it starts here, and it goes, we have double nerves, but I just show one side, right? It goes right here near the carotid artery, from the breathing center, and it moves right into your lungs. And it sends a branch into your heart. And it sends branches to all of your inner organs and even down to the lower part of your spine. So when you start to move into the vagus nerve, you activate the rest and digest, the relaxed system. And you start to regenerate and you give yourself permission and time to yawn and breathe and take oxygen and de-stress your muscular tension. So this tension, you let go, your neck melts like butter, like, oh, it feels so good to yawn. You know, this is the worst thing in the world is if you have a yawn and you couldn't finish it. Mm. Like, ah, right? It's like horrible. You want to go again. And there are also techniques you can use that in breathing to exhale slowly and tap, do different anchors, and you can get to yawn on demand. I can do it immediately.
Really?
If anybody sees me before my world records in any YouTube, before I'm yawning like crazy. Not because I'm lazy, I'm totally de-stressing my body. Totally just...
So are you saying that yawning is a good technique to de-stress?
I think it's fantastic. Okay. But it's not just so much about the yawning. That was more a demonstration that you're relaxed. And it's because you're triggering the vagus nerve. So that's what I want to get at. When you breathe in this way, not only does it oxygenize your body, your brain more, and you become more healthy and stronger, and you sleep better because you take this... What I do in my philosophy and breathology, the system I've created, is that I've taken all the best things I know from science, from my PhD, from talking with the best doctors in the world. I've taken everything I know from extreme performance sports, holding a breath for 20 minutes, diving deep into the ocean, and then my interest for Eastern philosophy, timeless wisdom. I did martial arts, so I've also been in India and ashrams. It's a yoga school. I have two gurus, two masters in India. So those are the three elements, the three pillars that carry breathology, my platform. And I take many complicated exercises and I try to make them very, very simple. So I always work in a very simplistic framework. So four phases in my training program. If I do rehabilitation that I do with PTSD patients, with people that have COPD, smokers' lungs, people that have different post-polio, different neurodegenerative diseases, I rebuild the nervous system. So all what we do in this is rebuilding and rewiring the nervous system and the connection to the brain and the connection to the organs. So it all becomes stronger again. So we have to decondition. We have to get away from the bad habits. So what I teach people is to become aware of bad habits, breathing in the chest, having too high heart rate, being too much in the stress system, using the mouth, doing the wrong things, but it's not anybody's fault. It's not something you're taught in school. We just develop bad habits and we mirror other people and we see what people do. And if you're in an office and people are stressed, everyone around you will start to feel stressed. Okay. That will affect on the food choice. You will eat more salt, more sugar. We all know this. You will gain weight when you're stressed. When you relax and feel better, you find a girlfriend, you fall in love. Everything becomes easier because you're in that other system. So it seems simplistic, and it is, but I want to take people up and show them they have an amazing body, and it's such a shame if you don't use it for anything, sports, sex, breathing, creating incredible products, helping the world. It's a shame if you don't live your full potential. And if you don't breathe fully, you cannot use your full potential because you're only at 70% of that max potential.
Awesome. So I think we had, like, I did not expect, you know, to focus entirely on the breath, but it was very interesting. I hope that now you understand why breathing is so important. So yes, everyone is breathing all the time, but it doesn't mean that we do that the right way. So you share with us a few exercises. So just to, like, breathe deeply with beginning by
relax
the bottom.
Shoulders.
Yes, exactly.
And we'll give a little bonus exercise, of course, because to this one, to make it really super booster, like to make it like a ninja trick almost, you put a ratio. And it's very simple to understand, because what you now know is that you have this vagus nerve, this incredible 10th cranial nerve. And now you know that that was the first thing we talked about. How can you use breathing if you're stressed or you want to be more creative or more productive? Well, you can simply just be aware of your breathing and start to breathe more fully. And that will trigger the vagus nerve, so it will activate the stimulus, the electrical signals in this one. So your heart rate will decrease. That's one positive benefit. The blood pressure will fall. When that happens, you don't need to breathe as fast. So your respiratory cycle becomes less, meaning your whole body relaxes, meaning you can, you know, rebuild your immune system, your brain becomes smarter, and you become more healthy. And not only that, you become also more resilient to stress, and you become more aware of when it is coming close to you, stress, and when you should stop or go to bed or buy healthy food and make healthy choices. So the last thing I want to show people to really trigger that vagus nerve, because they will learn this quickly. And of course, it's a lifelong process. I love breathing. I'm so passionate about teaching it and breath holding, but that's another story. That's the second part of breathology. That's the other thing, the yin and the yang. But today we took one part of the breathing. The breath holding we can take in a part two, because it is so fascinating, and it's not known by doctors, and it's timeless wisdom that is so powerful, even more than the breathing. For the mind control and for goal setting. But when we put a ratio of 1 to 2, which is so simple, right?
So what do you mean, 1?
1 to 2. So the inhale is 1 and the exhale is double. And the last thing I will say to people out there is, I always teach, whenever I teach students in the world, the key to relaxation is in the exhalation. Right?
Okay.
Because when you exhale, what happens? You're not an expert, but I just ask you, exhale, what happens?
Well,
yeah, not the physical thing. How does it feel?
Well, I don't know. It's like, it relieves a bit of tension.
It relieves tension.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels good. This is not so good. You always get told, breathe, 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 but breathing is not so good. It creates stress. It creates adrenaline because you're doing a job. You're working, but here, you let go. So what you do in the 1-2 ratio breathing, you extend that exhale.
Okay.
It becomes double the time. In other words, you stay double the time in the relaxed system. Now you're a little bit stressed when you inhale. You go to the stress scale. But then you exhale. You make a slight pause. Very important. You come out of that soft inhale. It has to be soft and round. And then before you go down, you take a slight pause. It stops. And then your body tells you you're ready. And then it's just a roller coaster.
So how many times should we do that?
You can do it just 5 to 10 times. Sit in the car, in the taxi. But the point is that you do the ratio 1 to 2. So let's say we inhale for 4 seconds. Let's do that. So you go 4 seconds. Let's say 1 second break, or 2 seconds, and then 8 seconds out. And soft landing and for. So you always have to have this very, very soft, almost like waves on the ocean, like hills in the, you know, in the mountainside, like on the countryside. And this binds everything together. It binds your mind together. It binds your surroundings together. So you become much more important than just yourself. That what you emit to people around you will come back. So when you're in this exhale, and you know how to control it, because we talked about the tongue or the lips or the throat, you get a machine that can control the airflow. So it's completely different of the uncontrolled, unconscious mouth breathing. And anyone who's stressed knows, maybe they don't know, but they realize now when I tell them that when you're stressed, there is no pause. So imagine if you want to land a project or you want to sell something and you sit there, you're a bit nervous, sweating. And subconsciously, because you don't know these little techniques, you don't make breaks. You will never win that project. You will never get that sale. Whereas you sit down, you do nothing, but you do. But it looks like nothing. You say, welcome to the people. Yeah, great, you could come. And you just follow that rhythm, 1 to 2. So it doesn't have to be exactly on the second 2, but just a slow exhale, right? We get the point. The exhale is the relax, right? The exhalation is the relaxation.
Yeah, okay.
So you will create this wonderful energy around you, and people will be attracted to you, and you see how it's very, very subtle,
yeah,
but
it's
very, very powerful.
Yeah, and I can... like say that being around you, I can feel this, you know.
Maybe you can feel the energy shift,
I don't know if
for
you
sure
see it from where you are for,
maybe people feel it in their own body,
but yeah, when you are around you, it's like, yeah, very relaxing and grounding, you know. Okay, well, awesome, Stig, thank you very much for sharing that.
Thank you for your time.
Maybe
everyone.
We'll do an episode 2. So anyway, if people want to get a bit more deeper into this, you have a website called Breathology.
Yeah, breathology.com, or they can find me on the YouTube channel, or they can just Google whatever. They'll probably find me, Guinness World Record of 22 minutes or something like that. Or maybe you throw a link on your blog or something.
Yeah, I'm sure. Is there a link just under?
People are clever, and Google is your friend. I'm sure they will find a way. But the most important thing is that you actually take action and start to try this breathing. You know, don't feel like, oh, it's a little bit strange and I'm a guy and is this yoga? Forget about all these objections. Just try it, and you know, you'll feel how great it is. And especially if you're in a stress situation, it's a wonderful weapon, secret weapon, because you breathe 24 hours a day. You know, why not make the best of it? It would be stupid, silly not to do it. So just try it and feel this change. And then after a few days, you get into this good habit because it becomes a good habit. And then after a few weeks, you feel better, you sleep better at night, you'll go, oh my God, I get so much feedback, of course, from my clients. I didn't believe that I could sleep so well. So the last thing, maybe when we end and shut the camera, is if people have trouble sleeping, because I know many, many people have this problem. Also when they travel, new time zones, it's a modern world, right? But mostly because the mind is so busy, we have all these things and we cannot fall asleep. Many people cannot. I fall asleep in 0.4 seconds. It's one of my secret weapons to also be strong and fresh for competition, world championships. When you do the 1-2 breathing, it's the best technique to fall asleep.
Great.
So you do slow exhale and you will sleep like a baby.
Hey! Merci d'avoir écouté ce MP3 qui est tiré d'une vidéo publiée sur la chaîne YouTube. Donc comme d'habitude, j'ai besoin de votre feedback. Si vous aimez écouter ces podcasts sur iTunes, eh bien, allez tout simplement sur iTunes pour noter cette émission. Voilà, donnez-lui une note si vous l'appréciez. Et puis, comme d'habitude, vous pouvez voir les vidéos originales desquelles sont extraits les podcasts en allant sur olivier-roland.tv. Hein, olivier-roland, R-O-L-A-N-D.tv. Merci d'avoir écouté ce podcast. À demain pour de nouvelles aventures dans le prochain.